We're back
on another week.
Let's go.
Very different settings.
What do you mean?
I'm back at uni. You're.
Oh yeah, I'm in Lebanon. Yeah, we international.
Yeah.
We international. Man, I gotta tell. I don't know what it is, Connor, but bro to bro, you're looking pretty good, man.
Really?
Yeah, you look like clean. You look younger. You look like healthy. Like well rested.
Oh yeah, no, I've been sleeping well. I think I've been getting back on a healthier kind of grind in regards to waking up early and stuff, and not going out or not drinking as much. I think I went out on the weekend once, had a bit to drink, but nothing crazy.
Yeah,
I'm just cutting down on that stuff and concentrating.
One of our mutual friends told me that you wanted to start training 6 to 8 times a week. How's that been going?
Not that well this week.
I'm
gonna go train tomorrow, but I didn't go to yet today yet because long story. But at the end of the day, here I go to a gym at university and I need a COVID test for that every week, and I haven't done that yet, so I can't go. But I have a test for tomorrow, so I'm planning on going tomorrow again. And
yeah, man, I haven't trained for weeks, bro. So like, I'm in no position to tell you why you're not training.
No, gym. I should be back tomorrow, and then I'm gonna start boxing.
Boxing
ups the like how often I want to work out, but I'm probably not gonna start that till like next week because of exams. So I think gym and studying for now should be enough. And then once exams chills a bit, then I can start with boxing properly.
Nice.
Yes, sir. You're a bit stressed then, as well? Or?
Man, I just...
You're like the whole moving thing. You're in Lebanon.
Man, I just got so much going on all of a sudden, like at once. I thought after I finished this semester, the only thing I got to worry about is just moving to Argentina. Surprise, I'm moving to Buenos Aires for a semester abroad. Like next week. And now it's like I have like a work project that resumed and I have a deadline for that. And then I got like brand deals and collaborations
I'm
traveling and I'm moving and I'm trying to see people and I'm trying to balance like other aspects of my life. It's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I was thinking about this the other day, last summer when I was interning and I was here in Lebanon as well. I only had one goal and that was just like my internship and the work I was doing. And I kind of miss just having that one thing to focus on.
Yeah,
because now I've got like multiple things all at once. I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed, but nothing I can't handle.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's just like a growing process, isn't it? Last year, probably if you would have been in the same position, maybe it would have been too much. But because you've kind of graduated, you had that helped you. Now you can probably handle this better because you had that first kind of thing.
Facts. So, I realized this as well. Like 2020 was a year where I learned a lot of lessons. 2021, I was able to improve myself and like take from those lessons. And now I think 2022 is the year that I start to reap the benefits.
Yeah, that's sick.
So
I feel like I'm a year behind in that process. I think 2022 is gonna see where like be the year more where I actually do this stuff and I put the work in, and then later on I will see what happens and what comes out of it. But yeah. Nice.
Today, this week's episode, should we get into it?
Yeah, for sure.
It's very interesting. It was one of our requests.
Yeah,
On Instagram. It's like how do you manage or handle failure?
Yeah, which is important because at the end of the day, I mean, there's a lot of ups, but there's also a lot of downs in life. I think everyone has failures. I think everyone knows that. It's obviously nowadays a lot more spoken about that people fail, even successful people. And I think the art in it, and especially for people who are successful, is they have learned to deal with failure probably better than other people, which helps them improve and keep going a lot better than others, maybe.
I mean, here's the thing about failure. Like, you're never going to be able to improve or become the best version of yourself unless you fail.
For sure.
But you gotta fail properly. So when you fail, you know, there's different ways you can go about it. You know, you could either like give up, you could fall into a depression, beat yourself up about your failure.
Yeah.
Or you could, you know, go about it tactically and figure out, okay, why did I fail? What happened? what happened, yeah,
that,
you know?
Yeah, that's the main thing, or one of the main things, I think, is kind of that idea of recognizing and accepting that you failed and the emotions that come with it. So kind of realizing, okay, I've actually I've failed, something went wrong, whatever the reasons are. I think that's also something we have to get into, the whole taking responsibility mm-hmm. side of it. But you recognize that, and then going to the next step of, okay, I accepted that I failed and I'm going to deal with my emotions. I think that's what a lot of people do, is something goes wrong and then they either push their emotions on, don't deal with it, mm-hmm. which is also bad because it just builds up and at some point it's going to boil over, or they deal with it too much and they hang about too long and they yeah. don't get on with their life. So there's the two extremes, and you ideally want to be somewhere in between.
I mean, I think it's important to say that it's okay to fail. It's
yeah.
It's actually something good, right? Like, it's not something to be ashamed of, and no one's perfect, right? Everyone fails at something at one point. No one's born perfect. And
yeah, always
regardless see the positive. Of how perfect, yeah, regardless of how perfect or how successful they may seem right now, I guarantee you, at one point,
yeah,
they failed at least once. At least once, and it's just how you go about it. I asked my dad about this as well, like just earlier. I was like, how do you handle failure? And he was saying basically to learn from that mistake or that failure. Mm. And that's how you can turn it into something positive.
Yeah, for sure.
That was the main point the positive, he was trying to make. Exactly. Have you ever failed, Connor? Anything that comes to mind? Picking up a girl,
following a diet. Obviously no. I think if you have 100% track record with picking up girls, you are elite type of man. I think, I don't know, I've never met one so far that has never failed.
I don't think that exists, man. Like, even Superman gets his ass beat sometimes, you know. There's no way.
but I think even any scenario, from it can be work related or, as we said, trying to get with a girl or trying to talk to her, you learn something from it. And if we take the example of speaking to a girl, if you this whole scenario of you see someone, you go up to her and it just doesn't work out, you kind of, if you reflect on what happened, you can often figure out what kind of went wrong or what you maybe want to do different next time. And hopefully, sometimes I've had it where you do it differently the next time and you still fail. Well, that's not too bad. At some point, normally it's always going to work out. And if it doesn't, then you probably really have a problem where you have to rearrange the whole thing. But normally at some point it works out. And that's due to the fact of you failing beforehand and you taking lessons from what happened before.
I think failure is also really subjective, right? I mean, everyone's got a different definition of what a failure is to them, right? So, for example, for you, let's say, just sticking on the topic of hitting on another person, trying to make a move. For some people, not getting the yes is a failure, but for other people, alone just going up and doing it is a success, right?
Yeah,
I remember for me, my two best friends at university, man, it can be so frustrating being friends with them sometimes because they are so good at university and they write such good grades.
Yeah.
And I study with both of them. So I don't know, I'm not failing any classes, right? So for a lot of people that would be seen as a success, but I'm always kind of putting myself in a friendly competition with the two best friends from university. So if I write an average grade, even though I pass and there's nothing to worry about, it's, for me, it's it's a failure, and I beat myself up for it because damn, they aced that shit.
But
so it's super subjective.
I mean, first of all, it's not comparing yourself. It's also not care. I think this whole idea of not caring what other people think is also important for failure, because at the end of the day, you can always flip the whole script on how you view things. Your viewpoint is very important in it as well, with how you see failure. For them, it might be, I mean, I don't know exactly how their life goes, but let's say for people, I don't know if they're exactly like that, but there's people that do write amazing grades and stuff, but there's not that much going on outside of your life. You can say for yourself, you still write good grades, maybe not as good as them, but then on top of that, you have other stuff like your like social media career that you're having, like, which That's takes true. Up a lot of time, but is a very positive branch of your life you are trying to build as well at the same time. So it's a viewpoint thing, how you view certain things, and that can change your perspective on how what is actually failure for you in certain scenarios.
That is actually a really good point. You just made me feel so much better about the entire situation.
Exactly.
Why am I so dumb? But like, I've got other stuff going on as well. That they don't have. So it's.
And I don't know. It's the same. And it can go even more extreme if we go to like the whole picking up girls. There's so many guys that always go like, "Oh yeah, I'm not gonna pick up a girl and stuff because you're scared." Like, or they make fun of you if you get like denied by a girl. If you talk to her and then get denied.
Yeah.
But then they never go up to a girl because they're too scared of failure and stuff. And you'll be like, okay, I've got rejected by 10 girls, let's say now. But suddenly after that, I've learned so much about at least every second girl, I get something out of it. So like, you always have to like, out of like, care to a certain extent, but don't care too much about other people, what they say and think.
Who was it also who said, I think it was Michael Jordan that said you missed 100% of the shots that you don't take.
Yeah.
Right? So like, if you shoot your shot, right, you apply for that job or you go to talk to that one person or whatever it is.
Mm.
Even if you don't succeed, you had a better chance at succeeding simply by trying.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
You're not going to score a goal unless you shoot. Even if you miss after shooting, at least, you know, the odds of you scoring a goal were a lot higher than if you didn't shoot at all.
Mm.
And that's in like every aspect of life, I feel like.
And I think leading on from that, which is what is very important, is that failure or failing in something doesn't mean that you as a person are a failure. So a lot of people take it way too much to heart that if they fail in something and then they say, oh, I'm a failure. And that just, you can't it doesn't correspond. The two things don't link like that. If you fail, that doesn't make you fail as a person. I think everyone makes mistakes. As I said before, even people who seem like they're perfect still make mistakes. It's just a natural thing that happens. So I think people really have to look out for, if they have the habit of thinking they are a failure after failing, that they improve that way of thinking, to that it's a normal thing and it shouldn't affect me as a person, as an individual that much.
My dad also touched upon this when we were talking about it. He said the first thing you should do after failing at something, whatever it is, is forgive yourself.
Yeah.
And know that it's fine. Don't beat yourself up over the failure. You know, don't fall into a depression or like a mental state where you feel like you're a failure, like you were saying. And once you've done that, you can start to take the steps to tactically kind of figure out what went wrong in whatever you were doing and what you could do better, what you could improve. Maybe you didn't put enough effort, or maybe you got to do this a little differently or whatever it is. And by doing that, then you're able to kind of pick apart your game plan and so that when you try again, you have a better chance at succeeding. And even if you don't succeed the second time, you're still in a better position because, already like the amount of mistakes that I've made, I've narrowed down, and now I have even a smaller circle of mistakes that I can improve on. It just keeps going.
It makes a lot of sense, and but at the same time, I would also touch on the idea of like obviously forgiving yourself for the mistakes, but also like taking responsibility for certain mistakes.
Yeah.
Because I've seen people who kind of they fail in something, or they're not even fully, it's all their fault, but there is partly it's partly their fault, and they push off the failure and say it wasn't me, it was others, it's not my fault, like just certain, and obviously you can't take responsibility for everything that goes wrong, because there's things that are out of your hand, otherwise you'd be miserable in no time. But at the same time, I always see people that push off failure and don't deal with it and don't take responsibility for it. They deal with it constantly, because most people in the back of their mind know it was my fault, or I failed and I should be taking responsibility for it. But because they push it off, they don't really properly work through it, and it's easier just to sometimes take responsibility, grow with it, and just move on.
I would disagree. I think for some people it's more difficult to take responsibility for their failure, and that's why it often happens, like you were saying, that they'll kind of push the blame on someone else for something not working out.
It can be very difficult, but I mean, it is better if you sometimes do it than not doing it. You should take responsibility sometimes.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That you should take the responsibility. No, I'm not saying that it's easy. Obviously, there's sometimes sometimes you feel like you've done everything's going against you and stuff. But at the end of the day, there's still things that you maybe did wrong. And it can seem sometimes that the whole world is against you, and then taking responsibility for your failure is tough. It's really tough. But again, over long term, if you take responsibility for it, it's probably gonna be easier to help you to move on. Because if you don't do it, then at some point you're never gonna move on, because you're always gonna be it's always gonna be stuck in your mind. Maybe it was my fault. But then if people ask you whose fault was it? No, it was them, because you can't accept it yourself. I don't know.
It's an unfortunate situation to find yourself in, right? When you feel like nothing's going your way and you're doing everything you can.
Yeah.
And, man, I don't know. Touching back on, I think last week's episode, 1% improving yourself. Or was it 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
I don't know what just happened.
Oh, you had a thought and you lost it. My brain just
switched off for a second. I was like, what did I want to say? No, wait. Okay, let me get this. I got this. I got this. Even if you've done everything you can to correct your mistakes and it's still not working, by applying the 1% rule where you improve yourself 1% every day, right? Mm-hmm. That example with the ice cream in a room, -5, -4, -3, -2, the ice cream stays frozen. And once you hit 0 degrees, then it starts to melt. And so simply by that 1% increasing, you could... it's so hard to convey what I'm trying to say right now. If you've done everything you can and it's not working, keep trying, find the little solutions to your problem. And eventually, all those little solutions will add up, and hopefully, or ideally, you'll find yourself in a position where you're happy with what happened.
Yeah.
And let's say, even in the case that nothing works out, you've done everything you can, and whatever you've tried still hasn't worked. There's still something you can take from that lesson.
For sure.
There's still something you can learn. Okay, I tried everything I could to do the best I can in my art project. I tried everything I could to get along with this work colleague, and it still hasn't worked out. That's fine.
Yeah, for sure.
No one's perfect, right?
Yeah.
No one's perfect. It's totally fine. You've still learned a lesson, and possibly the most lesson is learn when to, not give it up, but focus your energy elsewhere.
Yeah.
More productively,
I'd say. Fully.
Agree. Of course the last thing. Don't rush to that step too quickly, I would say. Especially if it's something that you really want.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll see people that are failing in something that they truly have a passion about, it's very hard for them to give up. And I love seeing that, and they'll do everything they can to improve. But then when it's, let's say in terms of school, writing good grades,
yeah.
The majority of people, or at least for me, I didn't really care that much. I cared a lot about my grades, but I wasn't taking huge steps to, you know, right after I wrote a bad grade, the next grade be like 100%.
Mm. Yeah.
Simply because I didn't, I don't know, my passions were elsewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
And that, then it's tough. Then it's tough to, you know, to kind of like really stick to it and make sure you improve yourself. And I'm still dealing with that, right? Like my grades still aren't perfect. But I'm trying my best, you know? And as long as you're trying your best, there's nothing that anyone can take away from you.
Mm.
If you're trying your best, that's all anyone can ask from you.
For sure. Yeah, I think you just, it touches on this whole thing of you just have to be happy with yourself. And I think what also plays along with it as well is with if you're trying your best, but also understand, like, just being happy with who you are and like having a good self-esteem. I think that can help a lot with failure. I think people who struggle before even failing struggle with their self-esteem and struggle the way they look at themselves. Once failure hits them, it's exponentially worse.
How it hurts like their ego?
Yeah, and it's and not even the ego, but if you think you're like, oh, I'm unhappy with the way I am or the way I do things and stuff, and then something goes wrong, it just kind of powers all those feelings you already had, those bad thoughts, and just pushes you down even more. So I think
it piles up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think for dealing with failure and managing with it, it almost helps with just managing to be happy yourself, because then it's easier to deal with failure.
Uh-huh.
Because it doesn't take such a negative effect on you. You can more be like, you can go to what we said before. It's easier for you to say, look, I failed, but who cares? I learned something from it. I'm going to do better next time. If you're really in your bad thoughts and stuff like that, it's really difficult to have that type of mentality and that type of thinking.
That's true. But that's why also I say, like, give your best.
Mm.
If you gave your best and you still failed, like, at least you know that you gave everything you had.
Yeah.
And the failure will feel a lot less worse knowing that you gave your all rather than, I don't know, you fail an exam and you didn't study at all. Yeah, you're going to feel like okay, damn. But, you know, when you studied everything you could and you still didn't get the best grade, it can be frustrating for sure. Don't get me wrong. And I don't just mean this in grades. I mean this in terms of working or relationships or whatever. If you gave your best, at least you know that, right? Like, you're gonna be able to walk away from the situation knowing you did all that you could, and that simply wasn't enough, and that's fine.
Maybe sure. That's what I struggled with in the past, because when I was younger, I wanted to have good grades, but I didn't really. There was a part of me that didn't put a lot of value into school. So I didn't really study for exams. So I wrote tests and didn't really do much with them. And then a lot of times it went quite good, but every now and then I got a bad grade because I just didn't do anything for them. And I was still like unhappy and mad about it. But at some point I accepted the fact that if I don't do anything, like, I can't really expect myself to write good grades. Like, it can't work out all the time if you don't do anything for it. And that goes back to the idea, this thing I said of taking responsibility and not making excuses. It's like, I just can't push around the fact of like, oh, I don't know, maybe the teacher didn't want to grade me that well or stuff like that. At the end of the day, if I didn't put the work in, then I can't be mad at anyone else. And if I knew I put in the work, then the outcome, whatever it is, can't be as bad because I did, or it can't be seen as bad because I did the best I could, and I can't change that.
Well said.
But yeah.
Well said. Do you have anything else?
One more thing.
Okay. I think,
which is important, or which is difficult, also something I still struggle with, is if you fail, don't be ashamed of it, and kind of also, if you need to, have like the strength to find strength in others and talk to others and try to get help. Even if it's small things, like I found it so, I saw kids that at some point, like, you know, when you're younger and you do something wrong on a test, you're too scared to ask anyone how you do it because everyone's like, oh, probably they're gonna like scared of making like people make fun of me because I got it wrong. What if this is such an easy question, but for some reason I didn't get it. And once kids got older, and I saw a few kids that went like, just literally were not scared and just were like, okay, I got this wrong. What happened? Like, how do you do this? Even if it was a stupid question, there was always a part of me, especially in that age, where I went like, oh, this is actually like quite like a cool thing and quite strong for them to ask for help. And I think it's so important that people understand that it's not something you should be ashamed of, and failing is not a bad thing. So
yeah, that happens often. People just they don't want to ask for help because they want to do everything themselves, and like respect to that as well. But there's no shame in asking for help. There's no shame in it, especially like, bro, humans, let's say, I don't know, genetically are built to like roam in packs. Like very primitively speaking, a human alone in the wild let me rephrase that. A human in a pack is way better off than a human alone in the wilderness. So that being said, asking for help sometimes could be the solution that you need, or just that like little aid to kind of get your work done better. And also, let's say, I don't know, you got a project, you got a presentation, and you may be really good at researching and getting the facts, but you suck at making a presentation. And there might be somebody else that's really good at making a presentation, but sucks at researching. Then it would make sense to team up and get that help, and then work towards same goal. And it often happens that people don't want to ask for help because either they're too proud to ask for help, or they feel embarrassed or whatever, and that's not right.
Yeah, it's no, for sure. Ashamed of. Yeah, but that's the last thing. I think no one should be ashamed of failing, and
yeah,
and can talk about it at the end of it. Voice crack, but can talk about it. But that's a general topic. I think with everything that's going wrong, if it's anything from mental health to failing to anything, having that ability to talk about it is very important, and not being ashamed of it. But that's an overall thing.
Cool. Yeah. I got random facts. I want to get into these. Are good random facts I got. All right. Okay, I'm gonna start with I'm gonna start off small, get you warmed up.
Okay.
You know the dot over the small letter I or J?
Yeah.
It's called a tittle.
A tittle.
Or like title, but with two T's. The second T's with two T's.
I had no clue.
Yeah, that's crazy. Right?
You know what that reminds me of? You know the Phineas and Ferb song with that explains what the tip of a shoelace is? I swear to you.
That was one of my facts. I had that one as well.
Okay.
What's it called, Connor? What's the tip of a shoelace called?
Isn't it something like an anglet or something? Or
aglet.
Aglet. That's it.
A-G-L-E-T. Don't forget.
Bro, I had no clue what that's called until that episode.
I read the fact, and I was like, I knew that it was called an aglet, but where did I learn it from? And then now you say it's Phineas and Ferb. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, listen to this. Apparently, you know the Italian dessert, tiramisu?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyways, apparently, the literal meaning of tiramisu in Italian,
yeah,
I hope I don't get canceled for this, or because I come across as an uncultured swine. The literal meaning of tiramisu in Italian is pick me up or cheer me up. As the name implies, this is an iconic Italian dessert that's served at the end of the meal and that hopefully like cheers you up, basically.
I heard some but I think there's something to it. In Italy, I think a lot of desserts or some desserts are like named in that type of way where it's not like literally what it is, but they have like an actual meaning to them. Because with a restaurant we used to go to, the guy who had it, it was an Italian restaurant, the guy who ran it was Italian. And sometimes he made like his own desserts, and he said he always gives them like special names. Like it was like a little chocolate dessert. He said little kisses, in just in Italian, and stuff like
cute.
That for it. And that's there might be maybe some Italian people that are listening can clear it up, but there might be something to it in general that desserts are called like that.
Yeah. Another one. All another right. one. Japan has, I think, slightly over 5 million people nationwide.
Okay.
Is that right? Is it that little?
I don't know. That sounds a bit low. Wait.
It sounds low as well.
You go, I'll Google, and then I'll find it out.
I'll continue with the fact.
Yeah.
Japan has the highest density of vending machines worldwide.
Really?
There is approximately one vending machine per every 23 people, according to the Japan Vending Machine Manufacturers Association.
Really? Wait, so how many are there per person?
Every 23 people, there's one vending machine.
Oh, okay. That's crazy. Let's see if our math... Someone could probably calculate this, because Google says, apparently, you are slightly off. Apparently, if I just get... I typed in Japan population, there's 125.8 million people.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering. Because I got this fact from businessinsider.com.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's going on there with the journalist. I was wrong, like 5 million, that's so little. Okay, yeah, but nonetheless, apparently if you walk through Japan, on every street, they got hella vending machines.
Okay, that's,
They're marked by an incredible variety. The machines sell soft drinks, coffee, tea, cigarettes, candy, soup, hot food, and beer.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's one thing every time I go to a different country. I think Japan is probably at the top, but I've seen in other countries like specific vending machines for like certain things. In Germany, you get like sweets and water and beer. That's kind of the thing you get in vending machines, like the typical ones at the train station.
And condoms.
The ones in the toilet, yeah. At the petrol station, condoms, exactly. Viagra, and something like, yeah.
Sometimes in the German restaurants, when you go down to the bathroom, you got a condom vending machine like at the entrance of the bathroom.
Yeah, especially in bathrooms that are like quite old and haven't been renovated yet, or if you go like to a really old pub or something that's like been there for ages, you find that stuff.
That's hilarious. Okay, last one, super interesting, and I can assure that this is coming from a reliable source. This is coming from the Royal Navy Library.
Okay.
I think it's like the handbook or something. It's chapter 38. Check this. Bro, I downloaded the whole PDF, bro. I was reading it's like the regulations for being in the Royal Navy.
Okay.
Apparently, they're growing facial hair for men or for women. There is a very strict, procedure in doing so. First, you have to ask the commanding officer for permission to wear a full set beard.
Sorry. That is mad.
Oh, did you have your volume down?
Yeah, I put my volume down.
Oh, okay. Connor was coughing, and then I was like, wait. Okay. Apparently, you have to ask the commanding officer in the Royal Navy for permission to grow a beard. Mm-hmm. And designer stubble or, like, scrappy, uneven beards and, like, hipster beards or handlebar mustaches, they're all unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all subjective, of course, to the opinion of the commanding officer. Mm-hmm. And what's also unacceptable is beards taking excessive time to grow. So I was like, what is excessive time? And of course, this is also remains within the subjective judgment of the command. But the advised maximum time for an individual to grow a sufficiently thorough beard is 2 weeks.
But in general, I think that's the Royal Navy. Is that America or is it, where is that?
It's the Royal, the UK.
Oh, that's the UK. But in general, the army, I mean, it's probably part of it. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. I don't really have an opinion about it. But a lot of these things are very regulated and a bit weird probably to the general public, the way they decide things like that.
Nah, but it's interesting. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, for sure. Anyways. I didn't know that. But it's that strict to have a beard. Yeah. I knew tattoos are kind of a problem with a lot of armies, but I didn't know a beard would have.
All right. Yeah. Well, then tune into next week's episode to figure out the regulations for tattoos in the Royal Navy on Know What I'm Saying podcast every Wednesday. Oh shit! My phone.
Oh shit.
Oh good.
Mark's camera just fell over. He.
I don't know where to put it now. I don't put it here.
Just hold it. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's end it before anything else happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you guys next week.
Exactly. Follow us on Instagram at Know What I'm Saying Podcast. Keep coming with those 5-star ratings. We're rated 5 stars on iTunes. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
And we'll catch you next week.
Yes. See you then.